Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, August 19th, episode 79. In today's podcast, we get into a bunch of topics. First, we recap the big 79-67 win by the New York Liberty over the Las Vegas Aces. The Liberty have now put themselves as the favorite on FanDuel to win the WNBA championship. We'll recap the game and talk about the implications moving forward in that big win by New York. Next, we'll preview the three games to be played on Tuesday as the LA Sparks travel east to take on Alyssa Thomas and the Connecticut Sun. Jewel Lloyd and the Seattle Storm head to play the Washington Mystics. And lastly, Arike Ogunbowale, Satu Sabally, Matty Seagrass and company head to New York to take on the Liberty. Last, with the NBA Cup announcing last week, the group pairings will look at the board as of right now, who I think could be the winner of the NBA Cup, maybe give you a value play, if you will. And then we'll look at each of the three groups in the West, the three groups in the East. Now, it's going to be very easy for me, folks, to just go ahead and just go chalk, 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 chalk. I'm not going to do that. Some of them may be chalk, but I want to try and find a little bit of value. Do note that we will come back to this right before the NBA Cup kicks on the way. Remember, folks, the NBA Cup is the new term for the in-season tournament. But let's not go there yet. Let's go to the W and a really big 79-67 win by the New York Liberty over the Las Vegas Aces. A game that, let's be honest, folks, the Liberty were 3.5 point favorites. I mean, sorry, 3.5 point underdogs. And I love the Liberty plus the points. I actually like the Liberty on the money line. I said so over the weekend. Because of my concern with the Vegas Aces, and let's be honest, folks, they didn't do anything in that game to make me feel like, although they're the two-time defending champions, that they're going to roll over and win another one. Listen, and we're not going to get to the Darika Hamby stuff. That is something that's with the courts. I'm not getting involved in that. But that's a distraction. I'm going to say that right here and there. But let's go back to the game and talk about the play of three members of the New York Liberty. First, the play of Sabrina Ionescu, who was absolutely fantastic, particularly in the first half. Sabrina Ionescu ended up with 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And when you talk about Sabrina Ionescu, I think this is one of the big reasons why this team is the favorite to win the WNBA title. You know, a lot of people have talked about over the years of how Sab, you know, maybe it did not take off the league by storm. You got to remember, folks, she was on a really bad Liberty team. She got hurt by like the second or third game. It's taken Sab a little bit of time. And now she's gone from always the sidekick to sometimes being the one that stirs it. And I thought the way Sabrina Ionescu was, particularly in that first half of the game, when she was absolutely fantastic. Got to remember, folks, you know, in that first half, she really did a lot of her damage. She shot 7 of 14 from the floor in the first half. So 17 out of her 23 points, came in the first half, including all three of her three-pointers. Yeah, remember, folks, in that game, the Liberty were losing, I think, by as much as 10 points, I want to say, in that first quarter. And then that second quarter happened, and Sab went 2 of 6, had 5 points, but it was particularly her play in the first quarter when Ionescu scoring 12 points, 5 out of 8 from the floor, really allowed the Liberty, honestly, folks, to kind of find their legs a little bit and allow them to kind of get into it. So I thought that was really important for Sab to get off that good start, because typically Breanna Stewart does not play well versus the Las Vegas Aces. Even look at that 3-for-7 in game number 4 of the WNBA Finals last year. But speaking of Stewie, she was great when it counted. Got to remember, folks, that game got to, I think, within 3 points in the fourth quarter. I saw a pull-up J by Stewie. I saw a ridiculous drive left fake to the inside, fade away one-legged Dirk off glass, and then I saw her turn back around and absolutely punch Kelsey Plum on a layup. I thought that those three plays back-to-back-to-back, along with Fireback and also right before that, Banajalani Hamilton hitting big threes, really took that Liberty lead that was, I think, down to three or maybe six and really opened it up and kind of put the game away. And I thought that was important for Stewie to have that fourth quarter because she has struggled mightily. Folks, simply put, she doesn't have to carry the Liberty like she's had in the past because of particularly the play of Sabrina. But you need your superstar to step up and step up when it counts. And if you look at that fourth quarter, folks, she was the best player on the floor. And I thought that was really important, those two buckets in that block game. So obviously, when you talk about best players of the world, we'll get to Asia Wilson in a second. It's Asia, and then it's Stewie. The third spot, up for debate. It could be Enescu. I think sometimes it's Arike Wumbawale. Alyssa Thomas does a lot of things on both sides of the ball. Could be Caitlin Clark, who's been absolutely fantastic. We're not going to talk about Caitlin today. We'll wait for next podcast to talk about Caitlin because she's been absolutely fantastic. But I thought the play in the second half, particularly that fourth quarter, out of Stewie, that big stretch, is a big reason why the Liberty got that win. And they're going to need her, folks. And here's the thing. They don't need her to be like what Asia does, right? Because Asia's got to do it because she's not getting the help. And I'll explain for that why in a second. And by while we talk about Asia Wilson, listen, folks, she was absolutely fantastic. I mean, she shot 8 of 15 from the floor, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 24 points, 11 rebounds, was only a minus 2. So when she was on the floor for those 35 minutes and 40 seconds, she was why she is the runaway for MVP and no one's going to touch her. She literally carried that team. But before I get to the other players on Las Vegas, I got to shout out Double J. And that's Jonquel Jones. Jonquel Jones is an absolute pain in the ass for the Las Vegas Aces. They can't check her. Go look at the box scores over the last 2 years of Jonquel Jones versus the Las Vegas Aces. I'll give them to you really quick. If you got a minute, I'll tell it to you. How about Saturday? 10 points, 17 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 turnover. The girl had 7 assists as a 6'5 center. She draws you away from the basket. Kia Stokes has damn nightmares about Jonquel Jones at night. And this is why I think more than anything, the Liberty are going to beat the Aces and win the WNBA title. And I thought so in the beginning of the year and I talked about it. It's because she is the matchup that they can't check. She had a quiet game with 10 points. But she absolutely owned the boards. 10, 17, and 7. Jonquel had. The other game that she played at Las Vegas, 90-82. Folks, 34 points, 8 rebounds. That's what she did this year. You want more? I got more. How about in the playoffs? Think about this, folks. In the WNBA Finals, 16 and 10, 22 and 10. 27 and 8, and her only bad game was 6 and 11. That was in the WNBA Finals. Okay? She had a rough shooting game when she fouled out when she only had 4 points and 10 rebounds in one of the games. Commissioner's Cup, 16-15. 12-14. Jonquel Jones is a double-double machine. Hint, hint. Look for that pick to come out in a little bit. Jonquel Jones is an absolute machine, and they can't check her. If the Vegas Aces are going to win a WNBA championship and they're going to beat the Liberty, they'll find a way to kind of slow down Stewie. Maybe Sab has an off game. But if they don't check Double J and keep that monster off the boards, they ain't got a shot in hell with the way the rest of those girls are playing besides Asia Wilson. Jonquel Jones has been absolutely fantastic. And I want people to understand this because sometimes people forget about this. Jonquel Jones was an MVP in this league. Like, she ain't no George Harrison or no Ringo Starr. Like, she's not no just third wheel that you just throw in there. Folks, Jonquel Jones is a top 12 player in the WNBA. I firmly believe that. Top 12. If she wasn't from the Bahamas, she would have been on the Olympic team. She is that damn good. And I am getting sick and tired of people talking about all these great players in the league and don't talk about Double J. Because when the lights get bright and they need Double J, she can hit you inside, she can get you outside, she's a beast on the boards, and she will throw your junk like no one's business. Give Double J her due. To the Aces side, to me, folks, the issue I have with the Aces is, and it's going to be a little bit deceiving, folks, when I say this. People are going to look at Las Vegas, and they're going to say, well, Kelsey Plum's having a really good year. You know, Jackie Young, scoring-wise, having a really good year. Folks, you got to look at the splits. You got to look at the shooting percentages, and you got to dive deeper to see what is going on with the Vegas Aces after Asia Wilson is having a statistically historic season in the WNBA, and they can't get over the hump. In that game versus New York, let's go to Kelsey Plum first. Kelsey Plum, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You're like, all right. But she shot 5 out of 13 from the floor. And you're thinking, well, she's still having a good year. Okay, folks, ready? Kelsey Plum last year averaged 18.7 points per game. This year she's averaging 18.2. Folks, her 41% shooting from the floor is her worst statistical season since 2019. She shot 47.5% from the floor last year. She's down 6 percentage points from the floor. You want more? I got more. Kelsey Plum last year shot the ball at 39% from three. She's their shot maker from three. She's shooting 36% from the line, from three. She shot 91.2% from the line. She's shooting 84.3. Still good shooting it from three. But my point being, she's not statistically, in regards to her shooting splits from last year to this year, she's not bringing it at the same level. Let's move on to Jackie Young. You look at Jackie Young and you say, well, she's had a good season. But let's be honest, folks. Jackie Young was awful against the Liberty. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3. Now, a lot of it can be due to the Liberty's defense. But let's be honest, Jackie Young, who was in a fantastic score, is scoring exactly the same as last year, which is a career high 17.6%. You're saying, Coach, why are you upset? Well, Jackie Young shot 52.3% from the floor last year. She's shooting 43.5% this year. Jackie Young shot at almost 45% from three last year. She's shooting at 33% now. So, those are big differences. Those aren't small. So, yes, she's scoring the same, but she's not playing nearly as well. They need her to step up if they want to make a run at a WNBA title. And last, we have to bring up the point guard. And I have problems doing this because I have such an immense respect for Chelsea Gray. Okay? And against the Liberty, she was actually pretty good. 13-6-6, 3-1 assist to turnover ratio, 5 out of 12 from the floor, 3 out of 7 from 3. But when you look at it, you got to remember, folks, Chelsea Gray missed the beginning of the season. Okay? The point guard, folks, last year averaged 15.3 points per game. Right now, she's at 7.7. Now, she is playing 7 minutes less. Let me make sure we understand that. But she's also shot the ball 49% from the floor, only 40.8 this year. 42.1% from three, 30% this year. Those are big differences, folks. And I need people to understand this as they look at it. Folks, be very careful. Do not get caught looking at just their points per game average. You got to be able to dive deeper. You have to be able to look at how are they playing? Are they doing it in the way that they've always done it? Okay? And I think that is something that you need to look at, folks. And I think that is something where, you know, people oftentimes, this is where you can get caught. But this is why I try to give it to you a little bit differently because of my background in coaching. I want you to understand what I'm seeing and what they're doing. Okay? Simply put, really quick, I want to give you this. Jackie Young is in the 19th percentile on spot ups. Sorry, 30th percentile on spot up shots. Right? That's Jackie Young. She's in the 30th percentile and spot up jumpers. Folks, last year she was in the 91st percentile. She's not knocking down shots. So when you look at Young, it is the ability for her to knock down shots. You want to look at Kelsey Plum really quick. And I know I'm kind of going on here, but I want people to just understand how I think because I do this a lot different than a lot of other people. Okay? Very good, obviously, Kelsey Plum. 75th percentile and spot up shots. Last year, folks, she was in the 88th percentile. You look at her as a pick-and-roll ball handler, scoring the ball, 41st percentile last year. This year. Last year, 87th percentile. They're being used the same, Young and Plum. They're just not scoring it at the right rate. If they fix it, Vegas is going to win the WNBA championship because they also have the best player on the floor and the best player in the world, and Angel Wilson. Chelsea Gray will get better, and I still think Becky Hammon is a hell of a coach. But particularly if Gray can't pick it up and Plum doesn't do better in her pick-and-roll game with the ball and Jackie Young doesn't do a better job of knocking down spot-up shots, there's no way this team wins the WNBA championship. There's definitely no way they can beat the Liberty. And I don't even think they even make it to the WNBA Finals. Let's move on to the games that are going to be played on Tuesday. First off, with the Las Vegas Sparks getting 13 points at the Connecticut Sun. So to me, when you look at this game here, it's simply put, Connecticut's ability to shoot the ball from three is not good. They went and got a shooter, and that's Marina Mabry. I would be looking solely at Marina Mabry's three-point prop. Right now, if you look at FanDuel, you can get Marina Mabry three-plus made threes at plus money. This young lady, got to remember, folks, shot the ball 39% from three last year. Yes, she has struggled a little bit this year, but the shots are going to be there, okay? So you got to look at something like that, like a Marina Mabry, to knock down shots. The other reason why I like it is, folks, the Los Angeles Sparks are the worst statistical three-point defense in the WNBA, giving up 38% from three. They are ninth in three-pointers allowed made, okay? And if you think about it, they are in the middle of the pack, sixth in attempts. Teams make open threes on them. Marina Mabry is one of the best shooters on the planet. That should help Alyssa Thomas. Look at Marina Mabry, three-plus made threes at plus 116, And then you can try it if you want to go look at Alyssa Thomas to record a double-double at minus 105. Those would be my two plays. I would stay away from the line because of the fact that Connecticut, folks, you remember, is the slowest team in the WNBA when it comes to pace of play. Moving on to the second matchup of the evening is you have the Seattle Storm heading to take on the Washington Mystics. Now, when you look at the Washington Mystics, folks, you got to remember that they got off to a terrible start. They were 0-12, if I'm not mistaken, earlier on in the year. They have done a much better job as of late. But when you look at a team, like Seattle, they have not covered the spread in their last four games. And did you see that second half performance versus Indiana? And let me stop this for a second. I want to address something because I saw something on social media. I don't know the coach's name, and forgive me. The Seattle Storm coach was all pissed off at Christy Sides. I think to do with the substitution or the lack of substitution by Christy Sides in the, that blowout in the fourth quarter. Folks, let me explain something to you how it works. Noel Quinn's a coach of the Seattle Storm. The losing team calls the dogs off first, meaning it is Coach Quinn's job to remove her players from the game. She is to do it first. Then, after she does it, then it comes to the other coach can go in at that point and they can absolutely sub. So the Christy Sides may be doing a little bit too late. Maybe. Possibly. But go look at when everybody checked in and out of the game. Folks, ready? Awubake checked out 117. Skylar Diggins-Smith checked out 117. Megabur, 117. Jewel Lord, 117. Then she didn't figure it out, and then she subbed. Okay? If this altercation happened before that, that is not on Christy Sides. Noel Quinn's got a sub earlier. You got your ass kicked. Take the ass kicking. But you sub first. There's nothing wrong with Christy Sides did. Okay? And I want people to understand it. And y'all know I've got on Christy Sides already plenty this year when it comes down to her coaching at times with the Indiana Fever. But don't blame her for this mess. That's no one's Quinn's problem. And Skylar Diggins-Smith, I like you defending your coach, but you stay out of that huddle, let the coaches handle it. And Coach Quinn, if you got a problem with Christy Sides, do yourself a favor. Do it in the tunnel after the game. Don't do it during the game. It wasn't a good look for you. Now back to the game here. Seattle's not playing well, folks. Okay, let's be honest here. They've won, yes, they have won three out of the last five. But they have now covered the spread in four straight games, and those games were against Atlanta, the Sparks, Atlanta, Indiana. Those are four teams under 500. So now you're looking at me and you're saying, well, they're playing the Mystics. They're like the worst team in the WNBA, and they haven't covered in their last three games. But, ready? They lost 99-83 in a bad performance versus Minnesota. The game before that, 3 days before, they were 10-point dogs. They lost by 11, okay? And then they had a 96-87 game against the Phoenix Mercury right before the Olympic break where they were absolutely in the game. So I am doing this. I am going to take the points, and I'm going to take the Washington Mystics. I also think when you look at this game, I think this game, we'll go under. If you look at what's happened as of late, yes, two of the last four games have gone under the number when it comes to the Seattle Storm, okay? But when you look at Washington, okay, Minnesota was an albatross, right? That doesn't happen. 155.5. They went under 171.5 against Las Vegas. But you look at these teams, and especially at times, when they're dialed in, they are very good defensively. So when you think about advanced metrics, right, and you think about you know, defensive rating in the WNBA. Seattle Storm is the number 4 ranked defense in the WNBA. Okay? The Washington Mystics is 8th. But if you look at the flip side offensively, right, Seattle is 6th. The Mystics are 10th. The Mystics are going to try. To slow the game down, because that's the way they could play. That's how they're going to be able to compete. Mike Thibault knows that he can't get up and down the floor. So even when you look at pace of play in the WNBA, number 2 is Seattle, right? And then obviously the Mystics are 6th, but the Mystics struggle to score. That game goes under 161.5. Last game of the night is going to be a big spread again with the Dallas Wings plus 13.5 taking on the New York Liberty at the Barclays Center. And I want people to just be careful here, okay? This is a big number. Number 1, the Liberty do not do a good job of covering at home. I mean, just go look it up. They are not good at home against the spread, okay? Dallas don't play no damn defense. Folks, 93, 87, 100, 104, 82, 104, 95, 97, 88. Yikes. Look for that team total to come out and go take the Liberty. They're going to be able to score and get up and down. It doesn't matter if Satu's back. It doesn't matter if Matty Seegers is back. Latricia Tremble does what they do. And they're not very sound defensively that I don't think they're going to be able to slow down. But got to remember, folks, you have the worst defensive rating team in the WNBA in the Dallas Wings versus the best offensive rated team in the WNBA in the New York Liberty. Also remember, folks, the Dallas Wings are going to do what Dallas does. They are number 3 in pace of play. Look at the Liberty to go over that total. If you look at props, a couple of ways you can go with this. Number 1, Jonquel Jones, double-double. This is someone that you guys know I feel about Double J. I talked about it before. It's minus 115 right now. Okay? It's minus 115 right now on FanDuel. And I think this is something that Jonquel can absolutely get herself and get busy with this. This is a Jonquel Jones, obviously off of that 10.17 rebound performance, getting you 14.9, 9.2. And this season, she has gotten double-doubles. I do believe she's gotten double-digit rebounds, basically. She's missed out, until she had the last game, she had missed out on her previous 3 games, and one of them was a 9, but this lady rebounds with reckless abandonment. And looking at it during the course of the year, they have not played Dallas yet, so there's no sample size in regards to that. Take a look at Jonquel Jones' double-double. They have player performance doubles. If you want to just say, you know what, I think Jonquel is going to get the double-double, there's no way the Liberty are going to lose that game. But they are a minus 1,200 on the money line to get this done. So I can't sit there and go and say, oh, yeah, take that. I can't do that. I think something to look at is look at a player performance double where you can combine 2 things. Very simply put, I don't even need the double-double. Jonquel Jones, 10-plus rebounds, Liberty to win, is minus 108. Minus 108. Double-double, not even a double-double. All I need from Jonquel is 10-plus rebounds in New York to win a minus 108. There's another way that you can try and make yourself a little bit of money. But obviously, you know, you can just go straight double-double with Jonquel. Minus 115. It's not going to be blocked with Jonquel. So if you think she's going to get a double-double, just get the extra 7 cents and take her minus 108 and the Liberty to win. They're a 13.5 point favorite. So those would be my plays I would look at in the WNBA. Really quickly, folks, I don't want to spend much time on this because I probably talked way too long talking about the W and Matt's probably upset with me. But I am going to just quickly look at and talk to you about the NBA Cup because they released the groups last week, which now allows the books to set lines. So right now, the favorite, predictably so, to win the NBA Cup is going to be the Boston Celtics at 5-1, followed by OKC at 8.5-1, Knicks, Timberwolves, Sixers, 10-1, Milwaukee, 12-1, Denver, 14-1, Mavericks, 17-1, Phoenix, 19-1, Cavs, 22-1. Not listed were the two teams that played in the NBA Cup Finals last year, which were the Lakers, who won the NBA Cup, and also, obviously, the Indiana Pacers. So really quick, as I try to go through here and see if I can find you odds to win the NBA Cup. Lakers are 35-1 to win the NBA Cup, and the Pacers are 25-1. So just in case you guys want to sit there and kind of look at that. So also, really quick, MVP market, 8.5-1. It's interesting. The Thunder are 8.5-1 to win the NBA Cup. SGA is 8.5-1 to be MVP. No value there, right? Tatum, 10-1, doubled the odds, right? You get plus 200 more if you took Jalen Brunson to win the MVP over the Knicks at 10-1, right? Joel Embiid, same thing. Anthony Edwards, same thing. So I just want to let people know there is MVP markets out there. We'll get more into that coming right around the start of the NBA Cup, maybe the week before we'll do another preview. So really quick, who would I take right now to win the NBA Cup? I'm going to take Oklahoma City. I thought getting Caruso and Hartenstein were the two Achilles heels for that team. Another defender and a shot-blocking big rim protector, and Hartenstein fills that role. I also think they need to get Josh Giddey up out of there. So if you're asking me right now who I like the Oklahoma City Thunder at 8.5-1. Now, when you get to the groups, I'm going to just give you the groups, I'm going to give you the prices, and I'm going to tell you who I take right now. Timberwolves in group, this is West A. Timberwolves plus 130. Rockets plus 340, tied with the Kings. Clippers plus 360. Blazers 25-1. Folks, I am all in on Houston. I think this team played awful the first half of the year. They were great the second half, just missed the playoffs. I think Ime Udoka needs to get this team success early and a chance to feel like a playoff atmosphere. You look at, can Jalen Green take that next step and become the superstar that we think he can be? You look at a guy like Alperen Şengün, who was damn good. I call him Baby Joker about Şengün. Can he take that next step? And folks, if you watch Summer League, Reed Shepherd can hoop. And that second group, possibly Reed Shepherd and Cam Whitmore, that's going to be as young and exciting of a second group backcourt that I would look at. Maybe right there with another team in that group with the Timberwolves, with Terrence Shannon Jr. and Rob Dillingham. But to me, Rockets plus 340. Group B, Thunder plus 110. Suns 2.5. Lakers 3.5. Spurs 10-1. Jazz 15-1. I think the Spurs are going to be so much better than people think. I can't go there. I'm going chalk here. This is another team that I think needs to come out the blocks hot, and they're going to be a little bit of the hunted. And I think Chet Holmgren with Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be even more dangerous as a shot blocker because he doesn't have to deal with the smoke. Hartenstein will deal with the smoke. Chet can kind of be like that Jerry Jackson Jr. weak side rebounder, weak side shot blocker. And y'all already know, I think SGA is a top five player in the world. Go get it twisted. I think SGA should be right now the talk to win the MVP in the NBA. I really think that that's the case. Right now, SGA is 5.5-1, third best odds behind Luka at 3.5-1 and plus 360 for the Joker. Moving on to West C. This is an intriguing one because look at there's no slouch here, okay? Nuggets plus 230, tied with the Mavs. Pelicans 4-1. Grizzlies 4.5-1. Warriors 5.5-1. Folks, Memphis is coming. and they're back this year. If Jaws heads on straight, I think after all the legal problems and the suspension and the guns and the injury, I got a feeling Jaws going to be extra special. I'm torn because I'm not taking the two favorites. I'm going to take the Grizzlies at 4.5-1. I think they're going to win that group. But folks, I done saw a picture of Zion yesterday on social media. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Zion been in that gym and out of the kitchen. And if that boy's in shape and they got DeJounte Murray, in that backcourt and they allow CJ McCollum to be the scorer off ball, kind of the way he was in Portland. But DeJounte Murray can guard the better of the two guards because he's an offensive dynamo. And then you got Zion. Oh, and I've told y'all time and time again, Trey Murphy the third. I'm telling y'all, this guy can absolutely ball as a 3-and-D guy, and he's going to take the next step. Trey Murphy the third is 95-1 to win Most Improved Player. I know he wasn't not going to win it, but I just found that interesting because I wanted to find that little nugget. We got to see what happens with B.I. But to me, the Grizzlies, a little bit of a money on the Pelicans 4-1. Let's move on to Group A in the East. Knicks plus 135. This top three is fantastic. Knicks plus 135. Sixers plus 150. Magic plus 350. Hornets 17-1. And the Nets could be the worst team in the NBA next year at 30-1. They're hunting the flag, or what I think Kevin calls it, capture the flag. They're all in on trying to get Cooper flag. Oh boy, here we go. I'm trying to give me a reason why I'm not going to take the Knicks, because everybody's going to say, "Of course you are, Coach. You're a Knicks fan. You're going to take the Knicks." Hear me out. I think with Embiid, they may bring him along slowly with Philadelphia. And there's got to be a learning curve with PG-13. I don't even think he's PG-13 anymore, because I think he's PG-8. Because 13 is Wilt Chamberlain's number, and he definitely ain't wearing Wilt's number. So I guess we call him PG-8 now. I don't know, but we'll figure it out another podcast. I think it's going to be a learning curve with Maxi, Embiid, and PG. The Knicks are going to be on a mission. And if there's someone that's going to take this really seriously and play his guys 45 minutes a night, it's Tibbs. I think the integration of Mikal Bridges as a 3-and-D guy is perfect with OG. Randall will be Randall. He'll have more space to operate with those two. And obviously Brunson is Brunson. Brunson's a top 15, maybe top 10 player in the world. I know you don't agree with me. I don't care. But that second group, led by DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, with Precious Achiuwa, will give them something. Deuce McBride, maybe Kolek gets a little bit of minutes. I think they're going to take this very seriously. Give me the Knicks at plus 135 to win Group A. Group B, Bucks plus 135, Pacers plus 230, Heat 3-1, Raptors 10-1, Pistons 15-1. I don't know what. I think the Pistons are going to be better than the Raptors. There was issues with Monty. I think the Pistons are going to be pretty good, better than the Raptors. I think the Raptors are in a whole heap of trouble. But in this group, I think there's going to be a downfall eventually, but not yet. Give me Miami 3-1. I think Khalil Ware at the center position is so damn intriguing, because Bam done showed us in the Olympics that he could step out and shoot the ball from three. And Jimmy Butler is going to want to get paid. So Jimmy's going to have to ball and show up and play if he wants to get his money. And you know Jimmy wants his damn money. Hero be hero. I just like the Heat. I think the Bucks are on their downward slope. They're going downhill. I think Giannis is going to be bitching and maybe trying to get out of there within a year. And the Pacers still haven't solved their defensive issues. I like Miami at 3-1 because of, like I said, aware, because of Bam being a 4 and maybe stepping out and shooting a 3, taking more of an offensive load. Jaime Jaquez is going to take a big leap in year 2. Pel Larson, a rookie out of Arizona, is going to play well. Because why? Because every time the Heat drafts someone, they just know more than everybody else. So give me the Heat at 3-1 to win Group B. Last group, Group C. Celtics minus 135. Cavs 2-1. Hawks 7-1. Bulls 15-1. Wizards 25-1. I am not a big fan. I'm a big fan of Atlanta. But this is going to be the Trey Redemption Tour. The Bulls are going to be terrible, but I love watching Bazalis play. The Wizards, I don't understand why they picked up Jonas Valanciunas in free agency and then drafted Alex Sarr. Doesn't make sense. Although I think Valanciunas could get moved in January. But to me, it's the Celtics or bust. This is the type of thing that this organization thrives on. I think the fact that they didn't win it last year, they're going to want to win it this year. And try to win the in-season tournament and win the NBA championship. They're rightly priced as a minus money favorite, the only minus money favorite at minus 135. I am very big on Cleveland because I'm very big on Kenny Atkinson. And I think Evan Mobley is going to turn it to a monster with Kenny Atkinson as coach. But I can't play around with this. I'm going to take the Celtics minus 135. So really quick to go through the groups, okay? West Group A, I'm going to go with the Rockets at plus 340. West Group B, I'm going to go with the Thunder, who I think win it all, at plus 110. Group C, I'm going back and forth. Grizzlies plus 450, 4.5-1. A little sprinkle on the Pelicans at 4-1. I don't think the Nuggets or Mavericks win the group. East, Knicks plus 135. Group B, we're going with the Heat, 3-1. And lastly, Celtics, Group C, at minus 135. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for August 19th. For all things sports gambling, or all things sports in general, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast, I promise to talk less. Maddie will hold me to it, although I can't guarantee it, but I'll try. Next podcast, we will preview the games on Friday night. We'll start to get into previewing teams in the NBA from our producer, Matty George Vinny, who does a great job with graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. I know I talked too long, but it's okay. It's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.